It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Are we finally seeing jobs in this economic recovery?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's been a tale of this economic recovery, beleaguered, anemic, jobless. But a couple of reports out today show the economy may have kicked into higher gear, at least in the job market. One of those reports says the private sector created nearly 300,000 jobs, and another finds the layoffs and firing rate at its lowest level in more than a dozen years. From Washington, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
The private sector jobs number laughed off the market consensus and tripled what prognosticators expected. The very first reaction belonged to Joel Prakken at Macroeconomic Advisors. He's the one who tallies the numbers. And when he saw them, well, sometimes even economists get giddy.
A little surprised, a little excited, and a little, wow, what happened, as in, wow, can we believe this?
December numbers have more uncertainty built in. We'll spare you the details, but even fudging for that, Prakken says hiring turned up in the fall and is now accelerating sharply. That may show up in the government's unemployment rate Friday. It's around 10% now, but Prakken sees a hopeful trajectory.
Flat to down over the next half year, and then following that half year on an unambiguously downward track.
A separate survey provides potentially corroborating evidence on the jobs picture. The job placement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas found monthly layoffs at a 10-year low. In December, employers ditched 32,000 workers. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
A big deal announced today in the tech kingdom. Cell phone chip and accessory maker Qualcomm says it's buying Atheros, a Wi-Fi and connectivity firm, for more than $3 billion. Now, Qualcomm's CEO Paul Jacobs tells Forbes.com the addition is going to provide his company with an interesting growth opportunity. Just what kind of opportunity? We're going to get a little analysis right now from Rob Enderle. He's president of the Enderle Group, with us live from Las Vegas this morning, where he's attending the huge consumer and electronics show. I'm sure there's a bit of buzz going on over there, Rob.
Oh, most certainly. I mean, yeah. This is a show of toys.
Yeah. Well, why is this deal, this Qualcomm Atheros deal, so important, aside from the fact that we're talking $3-plus billion?
Well, it expands Qualcomm's base. Atheros moves in markets where Qualcomm doesn't. Routers, PCs. Qualcomm's primarily in cell phones and things like smart books and tablets. And those two markets are coming together relatively rapidly. So this allows Qualcomm to get ahead of that particular wave, surround the market, and continue to control it. They're kind of the most dominant in their space.
Who do they want at Qualcomm? Who do they want to go up against, like Apple? Or?
Well, in their space, they're the one that everybody else is going up against. I mean, Qualcomm, in effect, is the Apple of their market. And so in some ways, they're trying to hold off Intel, who's trying to move over and move into their segment. On the other hand, they're trying to hold off other vendors like NVIDIA, Marvell, and others that are trying to move into their space and take some of their share. So this makes them much stronger, much more powerful to hold off Intel and to protect their dominance in their chosen market.
Put this in a little perspective, Rob. Are these deals unique to the tech sector? I mean, what is this akin to? Like Kmart buying Sears? Or, I mean, what analogy could you give us?
Well, might be along the lines of General Motors buying Ford.
Wow.
They're both big players. That's probably too much overlap. Let's see. I didn't think of.
Oh, like, don't think too hard.
It's because they're similar but dissimilar in terms of market coverage.
And how is consolidation like this going to affect the tech industry? I mean, will this expand or shrink ingenuity and research and development?
Well, this kind of consolidation doesn't necessarily mean Qualcomm's a heavy research company, so it's unlikely it's going to reduce research and development. What it will do, though, is reduce common costs shared by both companies. And so what it does, it allows for a similar cost basis to what Qualcomm has, and then a revenue basis of the entire combined company. So fixed cost, a significant increase in the revenue basis, so that it makes for a more profitable company and one that can better weather storms. We're in a consolidation time zone. It's companies are relatively inexpensive, likely to get more expensive as the market improves, and so we're going to see a lot of this go on in 2011.
Rob Enderle, tech analyst from Vegas. Rob, thank you.
Pleasure.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now, about a third of a percent for the S&P, half a percent for NASDAQ, same for the Dow, up about 30 points at 11,718. We talked a little bit about the jobs report this morning. We also got word that the services sector in this country grew at the biggest clip in 4 years, according to the Institute for Supply Management. Markets were mostly lower in Europe.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
GM says sales of its cars and trucks in China grew by 29% last year, and the explosive growth there means a lot of new drivers are competing for the global supply of gasoline. How does that affect you and me? Here's Marketplace's Elisa Roth.
Most of China's demand for oil is industrial, to power factories. In the U.S., most of the demand is consumer. We need gas for our cars. Stephen Schork publishes an energy industry newsletter. He says oil is oil, so more demand from China could end up costing us more.
Everything is derivative of oil prices. So as goes, obviously, the price of crude oil, so shall go the price of gasoline.
During the recession, America's demand for oil dropped. But gas prices didn't drop much. That's because China picked up the slack, says Dan Rosen, a consultant who works there. Since then, China's overtaken the U.S. as the world's largest market for cars.
These big Chinese growth numbers for automobiles are important, but what's most significant about them is that there's 300 million more to come over the next couple of decades.
Rosen says it's hard to predict exactly how much all those cars will increase gas prices. One question will be how often Chinese drivers decide to hit the road. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Hey, check us out online at marketplace.org. You can share your thoughts with us there. Grab the podcast while you're there as well. And you can follow me on Twitter, Radio Chio. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Here in the United States, millions of people are desperate to find a job. Germany has quite the opposite problem.
Zum einen mal gelingt es uns nicht mehr kurzzeitig.
We can't fill the open positions that we have quickly. Sometimes it takes months, so we can't grow as fast as we would like to.
I'm Kai Rizdal, getting the right workers for the right jobs in Deutschland. Also, the numbers from Wall Street. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.